So one of the hardest things I had to learn when I became a pastor was sometimes people need a hug, and so I got to let you hug me. And then I find out that every now and again, your pastor needs a hug. Not today, but I'll tell you when. You will know. I will tell you. It'll be obvious on my face. This is not the face. I just want you to know that. So today we want to look at something that we've been kind of looking at the Baptist Faith, the message, and not kind of, we've actually been looking at it every week. And so this is part of that message series. And if you would turn to me, turn with me to Revelation, Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 10. Follow along. And then we're also going to read Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. I think those are actually on PowerPoint, but we're going to read a lot of scripture today, so I want us to try to follow along. How many of you have your Bible with you? Hold it up really high. Okay, awesome. I would like you to have your Bible with you on Sunday mornings, because you never know when technology is going to give out on you. My nightmare has come true. I was speaking the other day, and my iPad froze. Now, listen, if it froze in front of you guys are totally understanding, and you would totally give me 5 minutes to go print something out. But I was giving a devotion to all the pastors in the association on Tuesday, and my iPad froze. You know what that means? It means I need to study harder so I don't rely on my iPad so much. But what I'm saying is, it's not going to happen today, but if it ever did, you would love me, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Paul, why don't you move up here so you can respond. All right, Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced of his own mind. In his own mind, he who regards one day as special does so unto the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Now look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now listen, I recently saw, my friend Brian told me, he said, you know, you got to see this movie, Hacksaw Ridge. And I said, it's rated R, so I was hesitant. I said to Brian, I don't know if I can watch this, it's rated R, I'm a delicate person, I can't watch rated R movies. But I would recommend that you watch it, and here's the reason why. I saw this movie, and the story goes, it's about a guy by the name of Desmond Doss, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And being Seventh-day Adventist, he was what they called a conscientious objector. And as I watch this movie, it raises the questions I have about the beliefs I have about the Sabbath day. But Ron told me that he used to be a part of a softball league that as soon as the sun hit on Friday night, 6 o'clock, the pitcher or whoever it was would walk off the field because Sabbath day has started. And that was he was a Seventh-day Adventist probably. Most likely. So as I watch this movie, I'm questioning my own view of the Sabbath. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church put out this booklet called What is Patriotism in the United States? And it was a booklet that explained the absolutist position of the church of separation of church and state, which has been one of the Adventist beliefs up to this day even, and it's their policy, and they practice this, and that's exactly why we're at this place in our Baptist Faith and Message, where we as Christians, we need to be informed. First and foremost, I'm a Christian, and you need to hear me say that out loud and in person and in living color, and I will tell you I'm a Christian because I'm a Baptist second to being a Christian. So as I read these things, and I want us to see this, I just want us to see that in Article 8, if you have a Baptist Faith and Message, I gave you guys copies of it months ago. There's some back in the back still. We're going to look at what it says. And so the Adventists claim that in order to be faithful to the Lord, you have to keep the Sabbath, which was originally Saturday. And while every other Christian denomination says that it's Sunday, the Seventh-day Adventists believe in Saturday. And so actually, if you kind of know a little bit about what our church is supporting, we actually have a Seventh-day Baptist church that meets here on Saturday. I don't know if you knew that, but when you see cars in the parking lot, that's not us on Saturday. So follow along if you have the Baptist Faith and Message, but I'll read Article 8, the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It is a Christian institution for regular observance. It commemorates the resurrection of Christ from the dead and should include exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private. Activities on the Lord's Day should commensurate, big word, which means go along with, the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, what is the Lord's Day? And if we look at the New Testament, okay, the Sabbath, as the Israelites looked at it, they were under the Old Covenant, right? And so the Old Covenant, it was Saturday. And in our text, both Romans and Colossians, the text is dealing with Christian liberties, okay? And Christian liberties are how we are free in Christ. You know, there are some freedoms we have in Christ. They talk a little bit about meat and those kind of things. And basically, I eat what I want to based upon what I believe, and you can eat what you want to based upon your belief as well. And you might believe that you're not allowed to eat pork, you know. I believe that Famous Dave's is a great place to eat, but I'm not going to take my Jewish friends to Famous Dave's because they don't eat pork, right? But anyways, you have the right to believe what you want. I have the right to believe what I want. It's important to understand that this is happening because this is what Paul was writing these letters about. Some people believed it and some people didn't. So he was writing this book, and he says that we need to look at the historical content or the context of these verses. In the first converts from Christianity, the first converts were Jewish. And so they were converted to Christianity from the Jewish faith. And so first the Jews, and then who? Gentiles, right? Gentiles were non-Jewish individuals. So first of all, the church was built by Jewish people, and then Paul introduced non-Jewish people into the church. And as he started a new church, these people called Judaizers, they were the Jewish original Jewish people, these Judaizers would follow him into a church after they started, and they would start causing problems and dissension in the ranks because they would say things like, well, if you're a good Christian, they would say words like that. If you're a Christian, you would do this, right? And they would tell them they had to obey the Old Testament practices because they were Judaizers. That's what they believed in. They believed in the Old Testament law, specifically the ritual of circumcision. Now, I don't know about you, but as an adult, someone tells me I got to do that to be a Christian, I'm going to have some second thoughts about it. But they were old. They were the old Judaizers, so they said this had to happen. And so then sometimes they would say the dietary laws of the Old Testament still cover today. And so they would bring this in, or the dietary laws of the Torah, or observing the Sabbath. So Paul, what he's doing here, he's responding to false teaching. He's responding to false teaching in that book, in the book of Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. So we're going to read 16 verses, so follow along if you have it. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation that was set before them, the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles, but I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders. For the fear was I was running, or had run my face in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. Duh. Even though he was a Greek. So this matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated the ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As far as those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge external appearance. Hear this scripture. He does not judge the external appearance. These men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter, an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Remember the old days in the church? We'd have membership come. We'd say, we're going to give them the right hand of fellowship at the door. You're basically welcoming them in with the right hand of fellowship. That's why we shake hands. You're welcoming somebody in. All right? So, here we go. Where are we at? right-handed fellowship, the recognized. Okay, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the Jews. And all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. So when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. They began to have factions in the church, based upon the Old Testament beliefs and the New Testament covenant, okay? So, the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of all of them, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you forced Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners," in quotes, by the way, "know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because observing the law, no one will be justified." We don't get salvation by observing the law. We get salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So look at that last verse again. It says, "Know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." If we believe in Jesus Christ, is what he says, we might be justified in our faith and not by the works. So again, we're pointing to a free Christ. We're pointing to a free religion in Christ, a free Christianity in Christ. Right? So no flesh thought or no fleshly being is justified except through Christ. We're going to read Romans chapter 7. I know we're going to jump around a lot today. Do we have that up there? Starting at verse 2. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as she is alive. But her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage, so then she marries another man. While her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So my brothers, this is where he follows this up. So my brothers, you also died to the law. What he's saying is all the law matters, but once you accept Jesus Christ, you're dead to the old law. You no longer have to die because of your sin, because Jesus Christ did that for you. You might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. You no longer belong to the law. You no longer are strapped down to the old Jewish faith. You are freed in Christ. You have these new things that you're supposed to work on. You know, he gives us so many things to do in the New Testament. If you do the do's, you won't have time to do the don'ts if you do what God tells you to do. And so as we look at the new law, we see this in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Flip there if you would. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, that was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. Jesus Christ came to earth to take upon his life our sin. So anything that I have done, Jesus Christ paid that penalty for. Amen? Anything you have done, Jesus Christ has paid that penalty for. You no longer are, and I know that's not grammar correctness, but you are paid for by Jesus Christ the price of sin. What is the wages of sin, by the way? Death. The wages of sin is death. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death, a separation from God. So what he's saying is you can't be with God forever unless the penalty for your sin is paid, and that is the propitiation of sin through Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law is to point us to who? Jesus. That's the purpose of the law. So those who will believe will be saved. So if you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4, we have that? Okay, here's what it says. It says, Christ is at the end of the law, so that, that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. At the end of the law, we can see that in two ways. We can see it, first of all, that Jesus fulfilled the law, so we don't need to worry about fulfilling it, right? We can also look at it and say that the end of the law is justification. Since Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, we are also, through Jesus Christ, fulfilled, right? You have a penalty to pay. Jesus Christ paid that for you. You are not free from your debt at any business or any relationship you're in until your bill is paid in full, right? You don't get the title of your car until you pay your last payment. Jesus Christ has this wonderful payment plan. He pays it all up front. Nothing else is due. You've absolutely got it. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave it to you, and he gave it to me. That's what happened. The Bible tells us that we could never fulfill the law because we're weak. We're flesh. We're born into sin. What does it say? We all, like sheep, have gone astray, right? We are just followers of our forefathers and mothers, right? Is foremothers a word? Help me out here, Bev, you're the teacher. We are followers of our forefathers, which means, yes, I will repeat the things that happened to Adam. All the way back to Adam, I am repeating those things. What did Adam do? He was told not to do something. He did it. He was embarrassed. He confessed. That's what happens in my life. God says, Dan, don't do that. I say, well, I want to do what I want to do. And then I do it, and I get guilty, and then I confess. But what do I do first before I confess? I try to hide from God. Have you ever tried to hide from God? You can't do it. I flew all the way to Jamaica to hide from God. It didn't work. God is actually in Jamaica too. It was amazing. God can, imagine, you go there, wherever you heard that statement, wherever you go, there you are. That's what God is. Wherever you go, there God is. He is everywhere. So, the Bible says, we all like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all dead in our trespasses. We are dead in our sin. God knew this already. In the garden when he sinned, when Adam sinned, when Moses was given the law, remember that? Moses was given the law, right? What happened? The purpose of the law was not for salvation. God didn't say, if you do this, you get to go to heaven. Listen, we put a lot of stock into the Ten Commandments, but I will tell you, even if you obey the Ten Commandments, that doesn't get you into heaven. You know? It doesn't work that way. The law was never meant to be for salvation. The law is to bring us to the person who gave us salvation. That's why the law exists. And so let's take it all, look at the Sabbath. What does it say? The purpose of the Sabbath, he tells Moses, right? He tells Moses, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was a day of remembrance. It was a holy day. The Judaizers remember this day as a covenant with Jesus or with God. But Jesus came and fulfilled the law and put an end to it for those who believe in him. In Luke 6, we see the disciples picking grain, right? They're picking grain on the Sabbath, right? And they're eating it on the Sabbath. And they said, hey, they can't do that on the Sabbath. You ever heard anybody say that to you at church? Hey, you can't do that at church. You can't do that. Listen, I will tell you something. 4 days ago, there was a bounce house in the sanctuary. What? I'm just telling you. You can't do that in church. Let me tell you. This is what it says. What did Jesus tell them? He said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That was his response. When he said, can they pick grain and they eat on the Sabbath? Yeah. I'm the Lord. If I say we need grain, we get grain. Listen, if I believed, and I want you to be, I'm going to explain myself here in a little bit. I try to all the time and try to end on a good note. But I will say to you that sometimes we're going to be asked to volunteer in the neighborhood to hand out flyers and to win the lost for Jesus on Sunday. And it's going to be a lot of work. And so, yes, you're going to work your tail off on Sunday. What about Sunday school teachers? We got to work, right? Pastors, we got to work on Sunday. It doesn't mean we don't keep the Sabbath holy. It means that we turn our work into a holy work, right? And so what happens is the Lord says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the Baptist Faith and Message clearly says that the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, which is Sunday. But the Bible clearly teaches that it was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, which is inconceivable, right? You see, you have both these references. So as Baptists, we're saying, okay, Sunday is the day. But the Bible says Saturday is the day. How does that work, Dan? So what happened to make Christians to begin worshiping on Sunday? Does anybody know? The resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. Luke 24 says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other woman with them came to the tomb bringing spices that they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and then they went inside and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about behold, two men stood beside them in shining garments. And then they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth and said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Right. Whew. Acts 27 says, on the first day of the week, we come together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. He worked his tail off on Sunday. He did it because he was expecting to get up and leave the next day. That's what he was supposed to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says, on the first day of the week, of every week, each one of you should set aside the sum of money in keeping with his income. That's the tithe, by the way. When it says in keeping with his income, that's directly referring to a percentage of what you give, of what you make. And we'll talk about that some other Sunday, but I'll tell you that we're supposed to do it in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So the apostles and the very first Christians began meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week, rather than on Saturday. That's how it happened. So the Saturday was the Jewish custom. Sunday is the New Testament, the New Covenant, the risen Jesus, right? The risen Lord. Now I want to make sure that you understand. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm talking about freedom in Christ. So the fourth commandment where it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember that? So it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that isn't really addressed in the New Testament. It's not really addressed in the New Testament. And it's not reiterated over and over again like the other ones are. And so even though we're free in Christ, God expects us to live holy lives. Because he himself is holy. We're supposed to be like Christ. So if Christ is holy, we are to be like Christ. He himself is holy. So what it means is that this day of rest given in the law, the Old Testament, has been fulfilled for the believer of Christ in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going through a lot of scripture today, and I don't want you to get confused because I want to clear this up, and I want to state it clearly by the time we're done. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read the whole chapter, all right? It's a lot of words. Should have brought some water. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostles and the high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful to God, to all in God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. That's a great picture, isn't it? The person who built the house is worth and has more value than the house itself. Jesus has more worth than this building. He has more worth than the church. Why? Because he's Jesus, right? So every house is built by someone, but the God, oh, thank you so much. But God is the builder of every building or everything. God built everything. Moses was faithful servant of God in all the house, testifying so that what would be said in the future, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So, as the Holy Spirit says, thank you so much. Today, if you hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the same testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going to go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. Wait a second. Does God get angry? You bet he gets angry. What did he say? They shall never enter my rest. Do you see that? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, non-believing heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Right? As long as it's called today. How many, tomorrow, you know what it's going to be called when you get there? Today. What about Wednesday when you get there? What's it going to be called? Today. So what he's saying is forever, right? Encourage one another daily that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share Christ if we hold firmly till the end of the confidence that we had at first. As it has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. He's saying to you, look, I've had this experience with my people before. You don't think that your sin is the very first sin I've ever heard about, right? As he looks at me, he said, Dan, you know, I understand your heart. I've been there before. I did it with Moses. I did it with all the other people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen, sometimes I'm really so on fire for God, I'm ready to cut somebody's ear off for Jesus. Remember Peter, right? And then there are some days I kind of feel like Judas. I feel like I've betrayed my Lord in the things that I've done. Right? But when I was in the middle of betraying my Lord, I did not even think about how it was a betrayal to God because I was so selfish. Why? Because I have a sinful, selfish Adam nature. Right? Therefore, chapter 4, let's go down there. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Listen, when you finally get a balance of the commands that Jesus has, and the faith that Jesus has, and the grace that Jesus gives, you'll understand. But it's a balance. So many times we enter into this relationship with Jesus expecting we get a bunch of laws we have to abide by. But you have to balance the laws of Jesus Christ with grace. And understand there's a balance between the laws and the faith you have in Jesus. And so that's what it's saying here, right? He says, and yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. You see what he's referring to? He's referring to creation. God worked his tail off for 6 days so that he could rest on the seventh. All right, so now we're back to Saturday again. Let's read on. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Listen, not everybody is going to accept the gospel. You can share and share and share and share, but it's not your responsibility to shove it down their throat and make them digest it. They have to receive it. They have to receive it. And how do we enter into the promised rest? By faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Lord, is the Sabbath. We're talking about not a day anymore. We're talking about the Son of Man is the Sabbath. And also on the Lord's Day, Sunday, is a day that was instituted by Christians to remember and commemorate the resurrection of the Lord. It's not the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. We celebrate Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. So on this day, Sunday, this is the day that we choose to gather and worship. We come together to praise him. We come together to worship him and to read his word proclaimed and taught. We do this because this is what the apostles did. They met together on the first day of the week and they broke bread. That's what we're doing when we read God's word. We're breaking bread. We're sharing together. We do this because we're following the footsteps of the apostles. But you know what? You're free to worship the Lord any day of the week you want to. In fact, the text from Romans says that exact thing. Any day you commit to the Lord. If you do it any day, you do it unto the Lord. If you eat meat, you do it unto, including ribs.
Yep.
Amen. Right? It says if you want to observe a special day, do it unto the Lord. If you want to observe every day, do it unto, are you getting this? Do it unto, right. If you don't want to observe a special day, if you don't want to set aside a day to worship and a day to be with God, then you're doing that unto, there's a bad thing right there. If you choose to not follow God, you're doing it unto the Lord. Everything we do, if you notice the pattern, is unto the Lord. So if you're disobedient, you're disobeying who? You're not disobeying me. I mean, listen, we're going to start service now, by the way, you figured it out, 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're going to start our service at 10:45 on Sunday morning. If you miss this 10:45 service, you're not going to go to hell. I guarantee it. Matter of fact, you can see it on Facebook later if you want. But I will tell you, set a day aside to worship. So if you're going to miss Sunday, don't feel guilty. Set aside a day to worship. Listen, I believe that we should have a day, a trip, a family trip, or a vacation, whatever it is. I believe that you should do that. But I believe what we do is that when we put God ahead of that and we say, okay, I'm going to do a family trip instead of going to church and I'm not going to worship this week, I'm going to skip this week, you're skipping unto the Lord. Remember that. So if you're going to take an 8-day trip, you're going to be, or 7-day, let's count. No, 9-day trip. You take 2 on Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you come back Sunday. You miss the Lord's Day in there somewhere. So maybe in the middle of the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday, you spend the day with the Lord. Whatever it is you're doing, do it unto the Lord. The Bible is very clear that we should not forsake the assembly of Christians. We should not forsake this. What does that mean? Don't just say, I don't need to go to church. I can watch this at home. Yeah, you can watch this at home. People used to say, my pastor is really Joel Osteen. I said, really? When's the last time he came to your house? What about when you go to the hospital and you call old Joel? How is he going to get out there to see you? He not. Listen, I love to hear a good sermon outside of church. Right? Because listen, I'm not the only preacher in the world.
Amen.
Love, hate, told you. I'm not the only preacher in the world. I may not even be in the top 10%. I'm 11. I got a B plus going right now. What I'm saying is, you don't have to hear it from me. You just have to hear it. You have to hear God's word. So when people come and visit from another church, I don't say to them, hey, you should come to our church and leave your church. I don't ever say that. It's not my job to steal people from other churches. What is my job? My job is to share the gospel. And my job is to find the lost and bring the lost into church. I'm not going to go fishing at somebody else's church to find people for our church. Why? Because that's not what I'm called to do. We're supposed to be together. And you hear the gospel here. And you will hear the gospel here every week. Right? Because that's what we do when we come together. Don't forsake the assembly together. The church is not a building, and if you think it is, then you need to get that thought out of your head. The church is not this building. The church is not this building. The people of God are the church. So if we're in the park on a Sunday morning, which we will do this year, that's the church. We're together. We will announce to the neighborhood, hey, the church is here. And they say, what church do you go to? We say, 405 Warner Prayer. No, we say, we go to this one. Then they say, well, where are you located? They say, wow, well, we worship at. Because listen, it's just a name. I love redemption. I love the name redemption and what it stands for. I love it. It's just a name. What we are is a church together. So get that out of your head. People of God, we have chosen this building to worship in. But that's not who the church is. So why should you be here on Sunday? This is where the church is. Because you're here. Tomorrow morning, no one's going to be sitting in the sanctuary. Church isn't here. So don't come. So it says if you want to observe a special day, do it unto the Lord. You want to observe every day, do it unto the Lord. unto the Lord, right? Whether you do it Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, et cetera, no one's going to judge you. I won't judge you. It's not my job to judge you about whether or not you attend church. I love it. When I was coming up in the ministry, we did a program called the Growth Spiral. Have you ever heard of the Growth Spiral? Andy Anderson, Growth Spiral. Here it was. We were Sunday school teachers. Sunday school, we would run 35% of attendance. Now, these are higher Baptist numbers, so you'll understand it. 35% of our worship attendance was how much we'd have in Sunday school. And if you had over 35, you were very successful in church. Okay? So what we would do is we would work on that Sunday school attendance. And that's how we called that the growth of the church, Sunday school. And so we fought to get people in Sunday school, and we took roll every week. This was my point. We actually took roll. We took a sheet. We had these envelopes that you would check off. Bible brought, Bible read daily, giving, clean underwear, whatever it is. You checked it all off, and you put it in your Sunday school envelope, and it went to the Sunday school office, and the Sunday school director, which, by the way, I don't know how I became director. He never went to Bible study, but he was the director of Sunday school. He would count all the envelopes, right? Right? He would count all the envelopes and would say, this is how many we have. We were all into numbers, but I will tell you, I don't care what box you check. If you're lying to me, it doesn't matter. I could tell you how many times I read my Bible daily, and I couldn't have checked that box every week, but I did. Why? Because I was the teacher, and I had to check the box. If the teacher doesn't check the box, I'm in trouble. I don't want you to lie. We don't keep records like that. I want to know who's here. I want to be able to encourage you, so we're going to do that. But we're not going to take roll for that reason. We take roll so we can keep you informed, right? So if you think you're going to get to heaven by checking all those boxes, even the clean underwear box, you won't. It's not going to get you there. And it's a slap in the face of Jesus to think that by fulfilling the law, we can get to heaven. You're saying, I know what you did for me, God, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to check this box. Yeah, Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. So we need to quit trying to do it ourselves. So the requirements is we have faith in Jesus, and then we get to enter the promised land. That's all it was. Even in the Jewish, in the delivery of the Israelites, all they had to do was take the land. All they had to do was go where God told them to go, and they didn't. Remember one story? Oh, I can't go in there. That's the land of giants. Remember that story? You know, I can't go in there. That's the land of giants. We'll die. We'll die for sure. God said, fine, you stay out here. Listen, if you don't want to fulfill what God's telling you to do, then you get exactly what you're attempting to do, nothing. If you attempt to do nothing, I guarantee you'll make it. 100%. Stop attempting to do nothing. Attempt to enter the promised land, whatever that promised land is. I'm not talking about heaven now. I'm talking about moving forward in Christ. So I'm not ready to do that, Pastor. Yes, you are ready to do that. There is nobody in this room, again, I'm going with grammar. There's nobody in this room who is not ready to move forward. Right? There's nobody in this room who is not ready to go to the next step. You need to get there. Right? And listen, this is why we worship on Sunday. Because it's the Lord's Day. We come together and we honor Jesus. Lord willing, I'm going to be put in a nursing home one day when I'm 106. Right? My children, this is instructions as well as a sermon, my children will come to visit me. Why? Because they love me. Right? So why do we come to the Lord's house? Because we love Him. You know, I love to go to my family's house. Why? Because I love them and I want to spend time with them. You know, when we love somebody, what do? We spend time with them. And you should want to fellowship with them. You know, we try to go out to lunch every week. Why? Because we love each other. We enjoy spending time together. Listen, you love Jesus, you will enjoy spending time with Jesus. He loved you so much that He died. Anybody who's willing to make that sacrifice for me, I will let them hug me until the end of time. Because they love me just that much. And it's an insult to not want to spend time with him. You have those people in your family. You never call me. You never visit. You ever have people in that family like that? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know who you are. The reality is we do that to Jesus. Jesus is saying every morning, hey, I didn't talk to you yesterday. What's going on? Sorry, I was really busy. I had a thing. I couldn't go. I couldn't show up. Whatever it is. That's why you're here. So if you're not here, meet him somewhere. Don't make him call on you. Listen, if Jesus ever has to come rapping at my door, I am in deep doo-doo, baby. Listen, this is what we want. We want to be around Jesus Christ because we love him. And we have to proclaim God's word when we're together. And you're free to worship any day you choose, but I would prefer you choose the Lord's day so we can all be together. But if you want to host a worship service at your house, I'll show up. I'll bring Jim on the djembe, Dylan on the shaker thing. We'll have a worship service right where you're at. One of the toughest things I used to do when I was, I act like I'm old, but I'm not. Today, I don't feel old. One of the toughest things was when I was singing with a group, they would say, okay, Dan, it's your turn. You got to go into this person's room and sing for them. And I would go into their private nursing home room, play the accompaniment tape, and I would sing a song. And tears, they wouldn't be able to speak, but tears would run down their face. And you could tell, even though they couldn't speak, they knew what was going on. They couldn't come to a worship service if they wanted to. But Jesus met them where they were. So, if you have somebody at home who can't get to a worship service, you better get over there and bring Jesus to them, because it will make a difference. And you can make that their Sabbath. You know? And it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It could be on Tuesday. You know, Taco Tuesday at the nursing home is awesome. Right? And it was hard for me at first. Why? Because I am a selfish person. I was 18 years old. I don't know any 18-year-old that's willing and wanting to do that. I've met a few in my day now that I, you know, that I'm older. I've met a few, and they're willing to do that. But it's tough. But when you understand how important worship is and how important assembling together is with the body of believers, you will see that as important. So don't just come here expecting to be a spectator. Come here to love on the Lord. Yeah? Come here to love on Jesus. Come here and love on each other. Why? Because Jesus told us to. You see, we're following what God told us to do, not because he said, remember Sunday and don't do anything else on Sunday. You know? And don't get me wrong. We do, at my house, we pick a day that we don't want our kids on electronic computer games. We tell them we can't on Sunday. That's our day. We're not doing that. And they're not worshiping God. They're, matter of fact, they're frustrated with me because they want to play so bad. And I said, look, this is not the day. We've got one day. We're going to let it calm down. We're going to turn the internet off for one day. You know, I don't mind watching a movie together. I don't care doing that. But one day, I just want to have the electronics not flying. You know, that's kind of how we're going to teach our kids. Right? Even adults. How many of us are tied to our phone? Where's your phone right now? You know where it is. Where's your Bible right now? It's on your phone, right? A lot of people don't know where their Bible is, but they know where their phone is. That's why we put our phone on our Bible. Right? Our Bible on our phone. Flip that. So, all I'm saying is make the day special. Even if it has to be Tuesday. You know? Figure it out. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the end of the service today, I pray that you would help us remember that this day is holy not because it's Sunday, but because you're here. Father, this day is a Sabbath not because it's Sunday, but because you're here. We give you this day. And Lord willing, we will wake up tomorrow and we will give you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. As long as we call it today, we are to be in your presence. Father, help us understand the importance of doing everything unto you. If we do nothing, we do nothing unto you. And I apologize for that. The times that I do nothing, Lord, it's a slap in the face. But Father, today I pray that you would help us to find the energy and the drive to worship you actively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and it's our invitation time. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is the time to do that. If you do and you just want to come and pray, or you want the pastor to pray for you, I'll be here. I'll turn the mic off. We won't be advertising this anywhere. We're just going to pray together. All right? So if you want to do that, you come forward now. If you just want to worship, this is the time to do it. What song are we doing? What song are we hearing?